So today we are going to discuss from the 10th chapter of the Gita. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Bhuya Eva Mahabaho Shrinu Me Paramam Vachaha Yatte Ham Priyamanaya Vakshyami Hita Kamyaya. Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Listen again, O mighty armed Arjun, because you are my dear friend. For your benefit, I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained." Purport. The word Bhagavan is explained thus by Parashar Muni, one who is full in six opulences, who has full strength, full fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. While Krishna was present on this earth, he displayed all six opulences. Therefore, great sages like Parashar Muni have all accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Krishna is instructing Arjun in more confidential knowledge of his opulences and his work. Previously, beginning with the 7th chapter, the Lord has already explained his different energies and how they are acting. Now in this chapter, he explains his specific opulences to Arjun. In the previous chapter, he has clearly explained his different energies to establish devotion in firm conviction. Again in this chapter, he tells Arjun about his manifestations and various opulences. The more one hears about the Supreme Lord, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. One should always hear about the Lord in the association of devotees. That will enhance one's devotional service. Discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. Others cannot take part in such discourses. The Lord clearly tells Arjun that because Arjun is very dear to him, for his benefit, such discourses are taking place. Hare Krishna. So I welcome all of you devotees to the Gita class. So thank you for being here today to encourage me to speak something. Generally, when the darshan closes, you know, all the devotees kind of leave. Just to share, you know, some personal experiences. When I was, before coming to ISKCON, my mother used to tell me that when you go to the temple, you should sit there for some time. So I used to do that. I used to ritualistically do that. I used to go to the temple and I used to just sit for a minute and then get up and then get up and go out of the temple. But I didn't really know what is the significance, what does it actually mean to sit in a temple. Sitting in the temple means what? What do you think? What does it mean? Sitting in the temple. What do you get by sitting in a temple? You've all also been told that when you go to the temple, you should be sitting down for some time. Yeah? Yes? Oh, calm and peaceful. You get peace. You get peace. Okay. Apart from that, anything else? संसारिक दुर्दाएं हैं उनसे दूर रह सकते हैं हम लोग ठीक है और क्या बताया और क्या कारण हो सकता है बैठने का यस मैम पॉजिटिविटी एम्पावरमेंट स्ट्रेंथ बाय सिटिंग इन द टेंपल ओके आई एम स्टिल नॉट गेटिंग द राइट आंसर व्हाई वी शुड बी सिटिंग इन द टेंपल दैट्स राइट व्हाट यू आर सेइंग इज नॉट रॉन्ग ओके गुड एसोसिएशन ओके व्हाट एल्स भक्तों का संग वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट भक्तों का संग एसोसिएशन ओके और क्या हाँ जी प्रशंसा इट इज टू प्लीज द लॉर्ड ओके तो ठीक है मैं आपको जवाब बता देता हूं तो यहां पर श्लोक में बताया गया है दैट प्रभुपाद इज राइटिंग द इंपॉर्टेंस ऑफ सिटिंग इन द टेम्पल इज टू हियर अबाउट गॉड यू शुड हियर अबाउट हिम Isn't it? If you do not hear about him, then we will not really make so much advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because we see, we can come and do things ritualistically for many, many years without understanding what is the essence of what we are doing. Isn't it? Personally, in my life changed when I heard from devotees that why we are coming to the temple, you know, what does God want from us and all those things. You only learn when you sit and hear. Isn't it? So we have to hear what is the importance of... And here, Krishna is going to speak to Arjuna and he's telling, I'm going to speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. Okay? So what is Arjuna doing? Arjuna is hearing Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? What is Arjuna doing? He's hearing. Is there any doubt about it? Where is he hearing? He's hearing before a battle began. Before a battle. On the battlefield he's hearing. So therefore, it is very important that we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna. Arjuna heard Gita. Correct? So we should also hear Gita. How many of you have read the 10th chapter of the Gita? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So we see that very few people have been reading the Gita, right? So we should all be reading the Gita. More, you know, more. And we should learn because what God has told us. So we know God is great, isn't it? We have heard God is great. Isn't we all heard God is great? Is it not? You heard it or not? Isn't it? So in the 10th chapter, Krishna explains how he is great. Because, you know what is the title of this chapter? What is the title of the chapter? Someone who has read that? Who has read the 10th chapter? Don't look at the board. Okay, what is the title of the 10th chapter? Opulence of the Absolute. Opulence of the Absolute. That means God is great, we know. We have all heard it. But how he is great, can you say something about it that we don't know? For that, we'll have to read the 10th chapter. It's a very beautiful chapter and personally my favorite chapter. Because in this chapter, if you read, Krishna explains so many things, you know. Adityanam aham Vishnu, Jyotisham Raviram Shumam, Marichi Marutam Asmi, Nakshatranam aham Shashi. That how you can see God and appreciate God while living in this world. Like this. So, you don't have to go back to the spiritual world only to see God. You can see God in this world. You understanding? Like, that's why Arjun asks this question. That Krishna, how can I see you in this world? Katham vidvams aham yogims tvam sada parichintayan keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintosi bhagavan maya. A wonderful question in the 10th chapter. Arjun is asking. What is he asking? How can I remember you at every moment while I am here in this world? Interesting question, isn't it? But we don't ask this question so much. We should be asking this question. Okay? So here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining why Krishna is Bhagavan. Here in this chapter, if anyone reads the 10th chapter, he will understand that the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Lord of all Lords, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sri Krishna. That will be established in the 10th chapter. Why? Because Arjun is saying, after hearing this, he's saying, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adi Devam, Ajam, Vibhum. After hearing from Krishna speak, he's telling, you are Param Brahma. Param means supreme spirit. Param Dhamma, your abode is the topmost. Pavitram, you are the supreme most pure. Paramam Bhavan, and you are the Purusham Shashvatam, you are the eternal person. Adi Devam, you are the supreme most. Adi Dev means supreme most God. And he's saying, Ahustvam Rishya Sarver, Devarshir Naradastata, Asato Devalavayasa, Swayam Eva Braveshime. Not only me, I'm proclaiming this, but it is this great rishis, devas, the Narada, Asita, they are all also proclaiming Krishna to be God. Yeah. Recently, I was in one Lonere college. You all have heard of a place called Lonere? Lonere. So, it's an engineering college, government college. So, when I went there, I asked this question. How many of you have read the Gita? Out of 250 boys who were present, two boys raised their hands. Only two boys. What a pathetic situation, isn't it? Hardly anyone is reading the Gita. So therefore, we should read and we should understand how Krishna is God. If someone asks us, how Krishna is God, how many of us can actually defend ourselves? Therefore, there are many people today, if you see, they are also coming in newspapers and television, that they are reading the Vedic literatures and they are interpreting the Vedic literatures to prove that how you should eat cow. Beef, it is very good. Can you imagine? And many people are accepting also. Think about it. Many of the Hindus also, because they don't know, many of the Hindus who are practicing Hinduism, unfortunately, because they have not read the Shastras, they are confused. Is it really? It may be like that. You understanding the point? Why? Because the Vedas are such that you can read it and you can draw your own conclusions. Anyone can draw conclusions, their own conclusions, and prove anything from the Vedas. Get the point? It is like this. Unless you are trained up properly, anyone can prove anything from the Vedas. And imagine that today India, being a predominantly a Hindu country, there is so much of cow slaughter going on. Is it not? Is it not? And according to the Vedas, cow slaughter is a big sin. Mahapap. It's a big sin. And there are organized slaughterhouses which are killing bulls, cows. And the leaders of the society are, if they claim themselves to be having some sentiments for the Hindu tradition, should be stopping these things, isn't it? On the basis of the Shastras. But nothing is going on. Like when I made a mention about how I was giving a seminar on mind control. And I just mentioned that if you want to keep a peaceful mind, you should eat sattva ahar. You should eat vegetarian foods. Okay? So one boy raised his hand and he said, "But sir, you are saying vegetarian diet. But you know, these days you don't get proper nutrition. If you eat vegetarian diet, it is it's important." So then I said, there are so many vegetarians in this world who are surviving, you know. Why don't you just follow him? You try to find out a means. And the most important thing why we should be vegetarians is, I said that because we need to have compassion. One of the pillars of religion is compassion, is it not? I said, you should have compassion. So then I wanted to show him a documentary about how, you know, animals are slaughtered in the slaughterhouses. So I didn't have the regular documentary on how animals are slaughtered. So then I had the BBC report on how cows are being slaughtered in the slaughterhouse. So I accidentally opened that file and there were other students who were standing there and they happened to see that documentary. And when they saw that, they started saying, "Sir, isko kaise roka jaye, batao." And they all became, you know, agitated. Young blood, no? How can we stop this? So that boy who asked the question became so frightened, he ran away from there. He thought he'll get beaten up for asking a question like, he was trying to justify meat eating. So that raised that agitated some of the people. So he left that place. So people don't know what is good diet, what is sattva ahar, rajasik ahar, tamasik ahar. They don't know these things. So therefore we have to read. And in this 10th chapter, we can understand if you read properly that how the Supreme Lord is Bhagavan. And it is explained, there are six opulences. Anyone knows what is it? Six opulences of the Lord. Fame, strength, knowledge, beauty, renunciation. So God, he has made all these opulences in this world. He has empowered certain people with a lot of some opulences. Therefore, you find certain people attractive. When you find a person attractive, why do you find him attractive? If you find a person attractive, what is it? What is in him that attracts you? It's either one of these six things. It's either the fame, he's very famous, he's very strong, he's very knowledgeable, he's renounced, one of these things. So Krishna manifested, exhibited all of these opulences while he was displaying his leelas in this world. So we can take one example just to prove that. Like, for example, opulence. If you see in this world, of one opulence of fame, okay, of fame, that how the Lord is all famous. If you see in Jagannath Puri, has anyone gone to Jagannath Puri? Yeah? Yes. So how many people come there for the Rath Yatra festival? Can you make a guess? 4-5 lakhs. Any other guesses? How many people come for Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra? 10 lakhs. 8 to 10 lakh people come there. And you know Kumbh Mela, how many people come? In a Mahakumbh, around 2 crore people assemble there in Kumbh Mela. So just imagine, so many people come to take darshan of the Lord to get purified, even though there is no advertisement. There is no propaganda made. Recently there was, a couple of years ago, this very famous pop star, Michael Jackson, he came to India. You know? And there was a show. And many people attended. But you know what was the strength of the people who are attending? How many people were there in the show? There was a lot of advertisements and everything, okay? People were aware that such a big personality is coming. But how many people attended the program? Any guesses? Yes? Make a guess. 15,000. Yeah, somewhere around that. Maybe 30,000, 40,000. But not more than 50,000 people actually attended that show. So we can understand who's famous. Who is famous? God is famous, or any human being in this world is famous? Who is famous? God is still famous, isn't it? So we can see how Krishna is famous. And today if you go all around the world, you'll find, you know, Krishna temples. Because of Srila Prabhupada, he has gone all over the world and he has established ISKCON centers. And he has made, you know, Krishna devotees all over the world. So we see that even that God is famous in this world. There's no one more famous than God. In fact, there was one singer in the West. He said, I am more famous than so-and-so God. You know, he said, maybe Jesus or something, he said, he was a Christian. He said, I am more famous than Jesus. There are more people coming to my shows than people going to the churches. He said like that. And subsequently, he was shot down. He was killed, unfortunately. So we see fame doesn't last, isn't it? Fame doesn't last in this world. But the Lord's fame is eternal. The Lord is all famous. And therefore, when he steals also, it is, you know, glorified. He steals butter and he is glorified as Makhan Chor. Isn't it? Makhan Chor. And if you also make a song on that, then you also become famous. There are so many singers. Main nahi makhan khayo. And people are, wow, very good, excellent. Isn't it? So many singers have become famous by glorifying Krishna. So that is, that's how Krishna actually proved, even when he was here. And even in the Vedic literature, it is explained that the world, the creation, you know, we seeing this particular world is actually a fraction of the total creation. It is explained in the scriptures that the majority of the creation is the spiritual world. It is not this material world. And in the spiritual world, all are devotees of Krishna. All are devotees of Krishna. Only in this material world there are few people who don't know Krishna or they have not heard of Krishna. So in that sense, if you see, Krishna is still the famous person. Anyway, let us go to the next. Maybe strength. Krishna is all powerful. How did he prove that he was all powerful? Any guesses? Anything comes to your mind? Yeah, he lifted the Govardhan hill, isn't it? He was how old? 25 years old, right? How old was he? 7 years old, yeah, somewhere around that age when he lifted the Govardhan hill. And how did he lift it? With a crane, isn't it? No, he lifted it with his left hand, little finger. Why did he do that? And you know the pastime that the Vrajbasis were wanting to do Indra Puja. And Krishna said, why are you doing Indra Puja? There is no need for Indra Puja. You should worship Govardhan, because Govardhan is giving grass, he is giving water for our cows. Govardhan is actually maintaining us. So therefore worship Govardhan and, you know, everything will be okay. So Vrajbasis said alright, and they started worshipping Govardhan. And Indra became very upset and he felt insulted that you stopped my worship. So then he called the Samvartaka clouds and told them to shower the rain. And it was heavy, heavy rain. So all the Vrajbasis went to Krishna. They said, Krishna, please save us. You know, you are going to save us. So Krishna, he very easily, just like a child lifts a mushroom, you know, an umbrella. When it rains, what do? You take an umbrella. As simple as that. So Krishna with his left hand, little finger. Why did he use the left hand and little finger? I mean, why did he use that? To insult Indra. To show that, you know, for me it is so simple. It's nothing. And for how long did he raise the mountain? How long did he keep it lifted? 7 hours, right? How long did he lift the Govardhan hill? Yeah? What happened? Yeah? 7 days, 7 nights. So 7 days, 7 nights, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. 7 days, 7 nights. What is the message that we receive from this pastime? Please. Even if in this class, if we learn one lesson, that is sufficient. You know, instead of me giving you 10 lessons and none of it being followed, it is better that we just take one lesson and we follow it properly. And we remember that. Okay, so what is the lesson we can learn from this pastime of Govardhan? Krishna lifting Govardhan. That he is powerful. Correct. That he is very powerful. More powerful than whom? He is the most powerful. And that means what? All others are not as powerful as he. And specifically in this case, who? Indra. Why? So he was challenging him. He was sending down the rain. So the Vrajbasis were worshipping the demigods, Indra. So Krishna said, showed, demonstrated that if you are worshipping me, don't worry, don't be afraid of offending anyone else. I will protect you. Who is the most powerful? Krishna. And at the end of the Leela, Indra came down and he bowed at Krishna's feet. And he said, Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. I am your servant. I actually made a mistake. I didn't understand your powers. Right? Many times people ask this question, if we worship Krishna, you know, will all the demigods be offended? No, we can understand from this pastime that if we worship Krishna, nothing is going to be wrong. Krishna will protect us because Krishna is worthy of actually all worship. Right? It's a simple message, isn't it? I mean, it's a simple message. We keep hearing it again and again. But it is a very deep message, actually. And only after coming to ISKCON, actually, I heard this. Anyone of you have heard this principle before coming to ISKCON? Really? We didn't. I was speaking with one devotee today and he was saying that when he went to Guruvayur first time, he was a South Indian, when he went to Guruvayur, he was saying he didn't know who Guruvayurappan was and, you know, who he was, whether he was Supreme Lord or so many of the traditional worshippers, you know, of gods or demigods or even Krishna, they don't know. They're worshipping Krishna without knowing who he is. He's great, they know, but they don't know how great he is. What is his position? There is another pastime story of Brahma, how he realized that Krishna is supreme. Once Brahma, he visited Dwarka. And in Dwarka, he told the Dwarpals that, tell Krishna that I have come and I want to meet him. So the guards went to Krishna and they said, Brahma has come. So Krishna told him, go ask him which Brahma he is from, which universe he has come from. So Brahma, he's told, Brahma says, I am four-headed Brahma. I mean, what else? What a question. So then the security guards come out and they say, all right, Krishna is calling you. You can come inside. Lord Krishna has called you. So he goes inside and he gives a report of how the universe is going on. And Brahma at the end asks him that, Krishna, why did you ask which Brahma? I mean, are there other Brahmas apart from me? A logical question. He didn't know. So he asked this question. So Krishna said, yes, you want to see? So right there in Dwarka, Krishna, he manifested, he summoned the Brahmas from the other universes. And it said in the Puranas that Brahma, the four-headed Brahma or of our universe, could see in that assembly hall in Dwarka Brahmas with 8 heads, 16 heads, 32 heads, 64, and you can go on, and millions of heads, Brahmas with so many heads. Now we may find it difficult to, you know, accept that. How can there be? First of all, it is difficult for us to accept that a person can have 4 heads. That also is difficult for us. What to speak of so many heads? But in the Purana, it is explained that Brahma, in that assembly hall of Krishna, was completely humbled. Just like if you think you are good at something and you meet someone who is better than you, how do you feel? You know, you feel insecure, isn't it? You feel humbled. And so Brahma, when he saw that there were other Brahmas who are far more powerful than he himself, could understand Krishna is really, really wonderful. He's really great. That's one thing to say that Krishna is great, God is great. It's another thing to actually know how great he is. And to actually bring about that, you know, that feeling of awe and reverence for him. Get the point? So Brahma, he realized that Krishna is really, really, really great. So Krishna proved his superiority like that. So here, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna about his opulences. Why? Because when you come to know a friend of yours is so great, you develop more love for him. Isn't it? Like you have a friend and after some time you come to know how great he is. You develop more love for him. More, not love, basically you could say appreciation for him. And you will value his association more. Is it not? So that's why Krishna is telling Arjuna. And Arjuna is playing a part of an ignorant person. He knows actually all these things, but he's playing a part of an ignorant person for all of us, so that we can hear about Krishna, how great he is. Many important lessons we can learn from this. So in this lesson we can learn that how Krishna is all powerful. And if we worship Krishna, there is no need actually, in one sense, no need. If you worship, that's okay, but there is no need of worshipping any other god. We should understand that all other demigods, devatas in this world are actually servants of Krishna. Because the topmost demigod in this world is Brahma. And he himself is proclaiming Krishna to be the supreme. Right? So it is a verdict of the Shastras. Whatever we should do it according to Shastra. We should not be whimsical. We should not be whimsical. Like many times we see, you know, there are some worship. Like recently there was some Ganesh Chaturthi festival, right? Ganesh Chaturthi festival. Many people are worshipping Lord Ganesh. But, you know, they are playing Like someone, one devotee was saying, who's the person who knows maximum pop songs? One devotee was saying, he's Lord Ganesh. You know why? Because many times in the pandal, they're playing all pop songs for Lord Ganesh. He's probably in all those 14 days, he's a person who has heard all the pop songs. Isn't it? I mean, that's what they're doing, you know, that's not in Vedas. It's not there in the Shastras. This mode of worship is concocted. Isn't it? I saw in one altar where the Lord Ganesh was there, in front of the Lord, the people who were worshipping Lord Ganesh, they were playing cards. They were playing cards in front of Lord Ganesh. You know, so it's so sad, you know, that they are, first of all, not knowing how to worship the gods, in what mood to worship the gods, and what is the injunctions of the Shastras. Unfortunate, actually. So, therefore, we have to hear attentively. We have to hear attentively and hear regularly, so that we can actually understand the right mood of worshipping gods, the demigods. How we should approach the demigods, and what is the position of Krishna with reference to the other gods, so that we can be rightly situated. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. So anyone has any questions? Any discussion? Please feel free. No contributions? Anyone wants to make any contributions? Anything you want to say, speak? You agree with everything what I said? If you don't, if you disagree, I don't mind. You can. What do I take as Alice? Not one question? No questions means, someone said that, no questions means either you understood everything or you not understood anything. So which of the two? Yes, okay, please. Yes, Martin. Yeah, so you get confused, right? When you hear how the gods are fighting with each other. Yeah. So what is your question?
I get scared sometimes, like my mom says.
Yeah. So you are afraid that, you know, that you may end up offending some devata, isn't it? Yeah. That's true. You know, many people have this. Therefore, they keep all the gods many times, yeah? Altar, right? All the gods' photos will be there, and we offer little agarbatti to everyone, you know, just in case. You know, you have all the gods in your house? Right, that's right. So certainly I was also, and we all were in that predicament, isn't it? So therefore we need to be trained. That's what I'm saying. So my advice is that, or the Shastra says that, let us be educated in the right science of worship. Okay? Let us read the scriptures, and let us come regularly to the temple and associate with devotees and learn what it is. So, if you are already worshipping the gods, I would say keep them, but also keep Krishna now on the top. Worship him also properly, okay? Keep worshipping, chant Hare Krishna. So that would be, I think, the right thing to do for the time being. And have you attended our 6-session course? Have you? Okay. So my suggestion would be you attend the 6-session course. It's a very wonderful course, and whom to worship and how to worship and everything is very clearly explained. Would you do that? Would you like to do that? Yeah? So confirm your registration in Diwali vacations. Okay? Thank you for that question. Okay. Yes, Mataji, you would like to? Never mind the mic. It.
Okay. Yeah. You started your speech saying that we go to temple. We were asked as children to go to temple and sit there for some time. Like, only in this temple I get to hear about God. When we go to other temples, like, we don't get to hear about God. So why we have to sit there?
Why we have to sit there?
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, there's no point in sitting there. That's true. There's no point.
Only after coming to ISKCON, I have started hearing about God.
That's right. So therefore, what is a temple? You know, I would like to add to what you are saying, is that Prabhupada used to say, a temple means it's an institution. A place where you not only get, there is worship of God, but also an education institution, where you are trained in these principles. You ask the relevant questions and you get the relevant answers of why we should do what we are doing. Really. So that is very important. And therefore, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, who has so wonderfully, in such an amazing way, given us the books where any intelligent person, an educated person, can appreciate what is religion, what is Hinduism. Because the most confused people are Hindus today, because if you see in Islam, they have one God, they know, and that's for sure, no confusion. In Christianity also, they know, okay, Jesus, that's all. There's not much confusion. But in Hindus, my God, 33 crore gods, and no one knows who they are, and you know, isn't it? Most confused people, I would say, I was the most confused, being a Hindu. Really. So I would say that thanks to ISKCON, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, who has given us this very systematic knowledge. Really. So, I would say that's the glory of ISKCON.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for that comment. And anyone else? Yes, Prabhu.
Once you accept Krishna as the chief,
yeah,
and once you understand that, who is chief? Chief means there is nobody beyond him.
Correct.
So everybody is below him. Then what is the fear?
What is the fear?
So if you know in an organization who is the chief executive,
correct,
you have a direct access to him.
Right.
You can approach him.
Correct.
He knows about you because you are appearing in front of him.
Yes.
Then the people below,
yes,
why should you fear?
That's correct.
Same thing.
That's right.
So, I don't know why the lady has this problem. I mean,
that
either
right,
she has not accepted.
That's right. Yeah, that is true. But you know what happens is, generally, practically speaking, we have not yet developed that faith on what you are saying and what we also say, that Krishna is supreme. We know that intellectually, but still we don't have that full faith that Krishna is supreme.
But
that takes time.
The Shastra is there. You just read the Shastra.
Yeah, but what can you do if
just
someone
believe,
doesn't have
just
faith?
Just believe that. Just believe. You know, something you have to believe.
It takes
just
time. It takes time. How many years have you been coming to this ISKCON temple?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I think about 5 years.
5 years. Now imagine someone has been coming to the temple since how
long? No, but the change takes place
months,
in 1 second. No.
So it takes time.
No, but the change takes place only in 1 second.
In 1 second.
In
that's
one
it.
Second, yeah. The
okay.
moment you accept, the
okay.
change takes place.
Yeah.
After that.
That's
you,
right.
You don't have to wait for 1 year, 2 year, 5 year. Then you can go on waiting.
Correct. That's right.
Then there is no there
That's
is
a
no
good spirit.
That.
That's a good spirit, yeah.
The change that. Will take place only in 1 second. The
yes.
moment you accept.
Okay.
That... Okay, Krishna is the chief.
That's it.
That's it.
So are you convinced now? Okay. Back. Okay.
No, it's okay. Everybody will have some situations like that. Somebody's brought up like that. Somebody, but
yeah.
you have to strongly believe.
Okay.
Yeah, but the simple statement is they are all under Krishna.
Yeah. That's right. Yes. Actually, yeah, I would say I'm with you in this regard, because I think in this case we need to be a little sympathetic to those who have still not developed that faith, you know. We can't just immediately you have to have that faith. That it comes, you know, for
possible.
Everyone.
Possible.
Yeah, that's
that.
Right.
That
it's
one
possible.
Second may come some other
after,
time.
After maybe 5 years, it may come.
It may come. May come after 20 years. Who knows?
Exactly. Who knows? So that's true. I mean, we have to be little, you know, compassionate in that sense, and be patient with people who have not yet developed that faith. And I
have nothing against her. Yeah. It's okay. In fact, the technique that what you were saying and she was saying is also the same. You keep everybody, just keep Krishna on the top.
That's
at
true.
The highest level.
Yeah.
And slowly, you know, as you start doing it, I think you will start saying, okay, there is no need for Ganesha here now. There is no need for Shiva over here now.
That's right.
There's no, you just start doing it and keep him at the top. You will start developing that feeling.
Correct. I completely understand your confusion. That's true. That's true. So let us be now, let's conclude in this that we need our space, we need our time to come to understand what God is, who God is, everything. And my suggestion would be that, never mind, you take your time, wait up till Diwali, attend that course. Because there are so many things, you know, we can't clear all the doubts at this point of time. But anyway, I appreciate very much your contribution. Okay, one Prabhu has something to say.
हेलो
उसमें बोलिए माइक में बोलिए आप हाँ माइक में बोलिए
अपने गांव की बात याद आई मुझे जो कह रहे थे एक शादी सब शादी सब जाए
अभी अभी अंग्रेजी में उसमें थोड़ा सा अनुवाद कीजिए उसका
इफ यू हैव वन फोकस You can achieve the rest of the objectives.
Okay.
You just keep one focus.
Yes.
But if you have multiple objectives, then it's very difficult to achieve anything.
Correct.
Because you will be your energy will be squandered.
Exactly. Yeah. And one person made a calculation. If you have to worship all the gods, it will take you around, you know, you'll have to worship 3,270 demigods per second. Because there are 33 crore demigods. We don't even know the names of all the demigods, you know. And if you worship few, then why not all? Isn't it? You always will end up not worshipping some. So you're going to end up offending some. So what is the solution? The Vedas give, there's one person whom you can worship at the same time, satisfy everyone. You know that story of Krishna? When in the forest, the Rishi who came into the forest. Who went and didn't have anything to feed him. What is the name of the Rishi? Durvasa Rishi. Durvasa Muni. He goes to the Pandavas. And in the Pandavas, they were on Vanvas. Okay? This is for you, Mataji. Just to end the session. So they didn't have anything to eat. They didn't have anything to offer to Durvasa. And Durvasa is known to be having a short temper. He would immediately give a curse. So what happened? Durvasa said, I am coming after my bath, so you please keep dinner ready. So they were a little afraid that they couldn't serve Durvasa because he was a great saint. So at that time Krishna comes there. And Krishna says, what is the problem? So they said, see, this great saint has come, Durvasa, and he has come along with his 60,000 disciples. And we don't have anything to feed them. We are in the forest. The Pandavas were in the forest. So Krishna said, never mind, what do you have for me to eat? And they say, we don't have anything, everything is over. So Krishna said, no, you have got something I can see. And there was an empty plate and there was one grain of rice in that. So Krishna takes that, puts it in his mouth and he says, wow, that was wonderful, I'm satisfied. The moment he said that, all the rishis along with Durvasa, they felt that they had a sumptuous feast and they couldn't eat anything else. And they started burping, you know, burping, dakar. Dakare aati hai na, khane ke baad. And they felt, we can't eat anything. And Krishna tells Duryodhan, he says, Bhima, to go and call Durvasa for a feast. And Bhima goes with his gada. And Durvasa, when he sees Bhima coming to invite him for a feast, they become afraid. They think that we will not be able to eat anything. So might as well just run away from there. And they escape from that place. So the moral of the story is that if Krishna is pleased, then what happens?
Everyone else is pleased.
There is no need to worship anyone else. This is the Vedic conclusion of the Vedic literatures. Sarva dharman parityaja. Gita ends with this verse. Not the last verse, but in the last chapter it is, he says, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. माम एकम शरणम व्रज मीन्स मी अलोन जस्ट सरेंडर टू मी अलोन ओ अर्जुन अहम त्वाम सर्व पापे भ्यो एंड ऑल द सिंस आई विल टेक केयर मा शुचः डू नॉट फियर मा शुचः मीन्स डू नॉट फियर यू आर फियरिंग यूजलेसली राइट वी अननेसेसरली फियर दैट इज आवर प्रॉब्लम सो एनी वे सो दैट इज द कंक्लूजन सो थैंक यू आई थैंक ऑल ऑफ यू ऑल फॉर पार्टिसिपेटिंग इन द सेशन हरे कृष्ण सो नाउ वील हैव कीर्तन So please join in. Hare Krishna.